get to heaven, I'll take a seat on a lonely bench by the fields of heaven. I'll sit and think about my life, the life I lived, the things I did, the places I went. I hope I never say I regret the way I live. I hope I never say, please let me go back. I don't wanna say, can I go back to do some more? I don't wanna say, I wanna go back. I don't wanna say, I wanna go back. When you get to heaven, you'll see your friends and the folk from church. The first will be last, and then the last will be the first. I hope you'll be among the last. You become the first. I hope I never say I regret the way I live. I hope I never say, please let me go back. I don't wanna say, can I go back to do some more?
At the feet of Jesus and absorbing the word, amen. As we stand 12 feet, let us welcome my father, your pastor, Pastor Chris.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning. What an honor, what a privilege to meet with the children of God, the saints of God. We trust you, Lord, as we bring worship and honor to your name, that we will be refreshed. And as the word speaks to us, it is you that is speaking to us, Lord. May we receive this word as soil that is readily prepared to grow a great, great harvest and great fruit on our trees. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, everybody. I want to talk to you about lukewarmness this morning, because I'm being blessed by a book that I'm reading on the secrets of God. And I realize that there's a wisdom that is from God that is not the same as the wisdom in this world. The wisdom of the world, the Bible says, is sensual wisdom. It's not good wisdom. God's wisdom, the Bible calls it mysterious wisdom. It's mysterious. You can't understand why God would say what he says, but be sure that the end result will prove to you that God's ways are higher than your ways. Amen. So we want to find out the secrets of God. If I can share with you some of the points, turn your Bibles to Job, or let me just, no, don't turn to Job. Let me just give you this wonderful scripture. In Job chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Hast thou heard the secret of God?" And Job 15, verse 8, "Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself?" So the secret of God and the wisdom of God is the thing we are talking about. It's the similar thing. God's secrets is God's wisdom. Amen. Do you know that not anybody knows a secret? That's why it's called the secret. So you would say, don't tell this to somebody. It's a secret. Hallelujah. So there are many things about me that you don't know that's a secret. But the servant who works in my house and who sees all the things on my table and who sees all the things in my bathroom, in my room, in my, she will know a little bit more than you. Isn't it true? Because she's there around me every day. Say amen. So if you are a servant of God, doesn't it mean that you will know more of the secrets of God? If you are constantly in the presence of God, in the environment of God, you will know more of the secrets of God. What are the secrets of God? The secrets of God are the wisdom of God. You are receiving good teaching this morning. Amen. And I realize that my whole life and my ministry is dependent on knowing the secrets of God. Who believes with me that secrets are hidden things? And when secrets are revealed, you know, then it's what you call a revelation. If I draw the curtain for you to see what's behind the curtain, you receive a revelation. John, the beloved, he received revelations of God. That's why the last book in the Bible is called Revelation, because he saw the secrets of God. Hey, he saw the secrets of what will happen at the end of the world. And God gave it to him. Hallelujah. He also saw the secret of just being close to Jesus. He writes in his first book, he says, "The things I saw, the things I heard, and the things I touched." Hey, it was a revelation to him. Being around a great man and the Son of God was revelation to him. Are you with me? If you're around a man of God, the things you see, the things you hear and the things you touch will be revelation to you. My whole life changed when I started to move around certain men of God. Now you can see men of God from a distance, but when you come close, you discover the secrets that you can't see when you are far. Hallelujah. So you must see it as something great to be close to a servant of the Lord. All these things I'm telling you is wisdom that I have discovered in my revelation. Are you with me? Now, it might not be something you know because you haven't seen the secrets of God. I'm sharing it with you, hoping that you can receive it and that it will change your life. He says, "The things I've seen, the things I've touched, this I declare unto you." Beautiful, isn't it? And all my stories I always share about my relationship with my pastors, my prophets, is a revelation to you. I share it with you so that you can also receive the secrets of God. So, but there are many secrets of God. Let me, we are just going to talk about one of them today. It's called lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is one of the secrets. First, look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say mystery. God's wisdom is mysterious. Tithing is the greatest sign of the mystery, or the simplest sign, I mustn't say. Not the great, but the simplest. Tithing is a mystery. You must all be tithers. Amen. If you agree that God's wisdom is greater than your wisdom, why would you not be a tither? Because tithing is one of the mysteries of God. One sister wasn't tithing, and it was brought to my attention. She was a leader, and I spoke to her, and she said to me, she got this debt and that debt and this debt. And I said to her, the problem you have is you are budgeting with the wrong budget. You must not budget with 10 tenths. You must only budget with 9 tenths. Yeah. So when you get your money, don't say, I receive 1,000 rand. Say, no, I receive 900 rand. Don't budget with 1,000 rand. You first give your tithe, then you start to budget. Are you with me? Uh-huh. Because it's the tithe belongs to God. But you think you are wiser than God. So you're going to work it out yourself because God can't work it out for you. Mercy. And then you sacrifice after the 9 tenths. You sacrifice things you can't do. So you budget. And say, maar ek het nie genoeg verdien, ek het nie genoeg. Dan los die goed af. Suffer, bitchy. Do you understand? Then you suffer, you cut some things out of your life. And then prove God. Prove Him that He won't open for you the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. If you're not prepared to suffer, then you can't be Christ-like. Amen. We suffer a little. Hallelujah. So, this is a powerful scripture. Do you agree with me? 1 Corinthians 2, 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. It's hidden, it's a secret. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And that is so important. For who's the wisdom of God? It's for your glory. Your glorification and your beautification. I love it. Because God is saying to us in this scripture that He will exalt you. He will give you glory and He will give you beautification because you have received the secrets of God. And it is true. It is really true. I am a living testimony of God's glorification and God's beautification because I have received the secrets. I chase after the wisdom of God. Amen. Not human wisdom. Not sensual wisdom. God's wisdom. What does God want? What does God say? Hallelujah. So my whole life is given to Him. And to all the things He wants us to do. All right. I will come back to this again sometime, but let's share with you this morning lukewarmness. You want to hear about lukewarmness? Hey. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The secrets of God. Maybe I must share with you a little bit about the secrets of God before I get to lukewarmness. It's very important that you get the full understanding. Life and death. Write down these points. Life and death depend on your discovery of the secrets of God. Life and death. Life and death. I won't read much to you because I'll paraphrase a lot of the things. Now, where does this come from? Why does Pastor Chris say life and death? You know, in the book of Daniel, the king had certain dreams. I think you should know a little bit about Daniel. And the king wanted people to reveal the dreams to him. But they could not. And then what the king decided was to kill all those who could not reveal his dream, including his own wise men, soothsayers and magicians, raconteurs of deadwood. It's a good way to get rid of people that you want to get rid of. You see, those who can't solve a problem for you, say, get rid of these people. But Daniel was also part of the wise men. Are you with me? And when Daniel knew that he was going to die, he asked the king to give him some time to go ask God to reveal the secrets, the mysteries that the king wanted to know. And the Bible says, when Daniel prayed, God revealed to him the secrets of the king's dream. And because he could reveal the secrets, his life was spared. But the other men were killed. So you must understand why the secrets of God is important. Life and death is hidden in the wisdom and the secrets of God. Spiritual life and death, the same. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Spiritual life is hidden in the mysteries and the secrets of God. People who don't want to understand God and know God better, they will start to backslide. And their sensual wisdom will lead them to spiritual death. Oh yeah. Last month, or the month that's passed, we were supposed to be preaching about backsliding, isn't it? Because backsliding is a common phenomenon where Christians we call it in our church. If you come to my leadership trainings, we have A type and B type Christians. Yeah, now most of you might be B-type. The A-type is normally very few in the church. Those who attend all services. If I say I'm having a service this afternoon there, they will also be there. So I guess you're not A-type, are you? The B-type is those who come on a Sunday morning or so. It's very important. You're important to us, the B-type, all right? Tell your neighbor, don't feel bad that you're B-type or A-type. You are also important. You are important to the church. We trust God that you will migrate or be promoted to A-type. A-type. A-type is in the Wednesday, they're in the cell, they're in the leader's impartation, but most church members are B-type. Uh-huh. And they don't discover the mysteries of God. They do not discover it, the secrets of God. So, my brothers and sisters, you will be blessed if you discover God's secrets and it can save you from death. Now, many years ago, there were certain diseases that killed millions of people. There was a disease called the plague, the bubonic plague, early in the 1300s, and it didn't kill few people, it killed millions of people. It almost wiped out entire communities. And it was only very late, I'll see if I can get the dates for you, where some two great professors discovered a solution. They discovered a secret that could, in 1877, here it is, Louis Pasteur, who did history, and Robert Koch they discovered an airborne bacillus could inhibit the growth of the bacteria Bacillus anthracis. Say, wow. It's deep, young. This phenomenon exhibited by antibacterial drugs was called antibiosis. And it was only in 1942 when drugs that acted that way were eventually called antibiotics. So today you go to the doctor and you say, Mark, be oop for me. He say, if you got flu or you have tonsillitis, they would give you this big tablet. It's called antibiotic. Today, almost zero people die from such a small tablet called the antibiotic. But in the 1300s up to the 1900s, millions died because they didn't know the secret to fight this bubonic plague. They discovered it was a virus from rats and from fleas. Hey! May you discover the secrets of God that will save you from spiritual death as well as physical death. Do you now understand why it's important that the secrets and the mysteries, it was a mystery to them. But you see, some things are already there. It's only not discovered. It's there, but we didn't know. Hallelujah. It's there, but we didn't know. Number two, your prosperity depends on your discovery of the secrets of God. Beautiful. Isaiah 45 verse 1. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the gates, and the gates shall not be shut. NLT is better. NLT is better. Verse 2. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one, whose right hand he will empower before him. No. Go to verse 2, please. This is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. Listen to this, verse 3. He says, I will give you treasures hidden in darkness. Hey! Treasures are hidden, ladies and gentlemen. Your little money you have is also hidden. If I come into your house, it's never in the front room lying on the table as an ikasof and ijas. Say amen. Say, stick your biki weg, hallelujah. La di kennesi moet fati. En die manna tuki moet sini. Amen. Treasures are secrets. But God says, I will give you the treasures hidden in the darkness. Secret riches. And I believe God is going to give breakthrough secret riches so that we can finish the mega church building with mega steel structures. Hallelujah! What was we searched for? The secrets of God. Because there we will find the hidden treasures of God. Amen. You know, I can't help to brag about my pastor, Bishop Dagg. He was talking to me the other day. And when you look at what the Lord has made him do, it is the best example of the secrets of God. Because he gave up his life as a doctor, which people thought was going to cost you a lot of money. Imagine like us now, we school teachers give up. Or principals, we give up what we would have become and give up the Mercedes Benz, give us the houses, give up these things. You know, that's the mystery of God. And then when you look at what the man has accomplished now, there's almost no money that you can put to the work that's been done. You can't talk about millionaires, that's too little money to talk about it. But the mystery is not in chasing the money. Do you get it? The mystery is chasing other things. Yeah, that secret of seek ye first the kingdom. That's God's mystery, God's hidden wisdom. It's hidden. Why the kingdom? Then these things shall be added unto you. added unto you. I mean, we're building a church here now, and we're probably going to wait and raise some funds now to do the big section. I just visited the church in Parklands. You know Parklands, Stableview? Bishop Dagg is building a church there. Huge structure like this. He's not here. He's just told one of his young men, build a church there. And when I opened their container, I saw the cement bags from the floor to the top. I said, Jesus, they have discovered the secrets of God. I must also find the secrets of God. Aye! Hallelujah! And the other day I was with another pastor who came to visit me at the tent. And my car has been given in for repairs, but I forgot about it. It's just left it there because I'm driving my daughter's little car. And he said, but why are you driving this small car? No. This doesn't look good for you, and etc. And I said to him, you know, this is sensual earthly wisdom. I have no desire for these things anymore. Oh, yeah. If I can even take a bicycle, I will even cycle with it. Because I've discovered the secrets of God is not in these earthly things, silver or gold or these things. No. Seek the Lord while He can be found. Call on Him while He is near. Yeah. The treasures of God is hidden in the secrets of God. Amen. So I won't preach on money or how to become rich or no. We rather preach how to be poor. How to give away, how to suffer, because it's the mystery. And you will even have more than those that is trying to become rich. Hallelujah. Your prosperity depends on your discovery of the secret of God. Are you still with me? The Lord's anointed Cyrus, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden treasures of the secret places. Diamonds are not found easily on the floor. Neither is gold. You must go very deep down into the deepest parts. I looked at some YouTube videos of how deep the gold mines are. You cannot believe it. Kilometers long down. Men went to look for the deep things, the precious things. It's not found here. You must go deep, very deep, to find the riches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, are you learning something? Let me first give you this one before I give you number three. Daniel 5 verse 29. Because remember, the first point, I gave you Daniel, but I didn't give you the scripture. And we always try to teach with scriptures. Okay, it was in Daniel 2. Daniel 2, from verse 8 to verse 22. There you'll see that whole story of how the secret was revealed to Daniel. Are you with me? Now for point two, I said the prosperity of God. Your prosperity depends on your discovery of the secret of God. Listen to what happened to Daniel when he revealed the dream to the king. Listen to this. The Bible says in Daniel 5:29. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes. Purple is rich. Rich people dress in purple. See anybody close to you that's dressed in purple? You know that's a very rich person. Rich, then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was dressed in purple robes. A gold chain was hung around his neck. Amen. Not your plated gold that you buy from the Najis. That was real gold. And he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Why did they give him the gold, the purple, and made him such a high, important man? Why? He revealed to the king the secrets of God. Are you listening to me, wonderful people? He revealed the secrets of God. I have set my face to search for the secrets of God. Amen. There's a young boy in our church who surprised us yesterday. He had put some cables together and he made his own radio or something. Isn't it? And he's a very small boy, and I was amazed. And I asked him, so where did you get this knowledge? He says, it runs in our family. You must see all the wires, like electronics. He has a motherboard connected to wires. I don't even think he's at high school. Is he at high school? Or probably just went to high school, huh? Grade 8. And I realized the boy will not be poor. Do you see? Because, look at your TV. Who all has TVs? Put up your hand. You all have TVs in your home. Who has flat screens? Flat screen. Wow. Who has the big TV, the big one with the love handles at the back? Now let Pastor explain to you like this. You have the TV, but the TV doesn't make you rich. Do you know who's rich? The one who made the TV. You just see the picture. You can't explain to us how did the picture come there. Can you? Now, you don't know the secrets inside the TV. That's why, you see, the people that invent things, they discover things. Oh, this is how this works. This is how this works. Your cell phone. You don't know how you can speak to someone from here into England and the two of you have a discussion. How does it work? You don't really know. You know, this is, if you knock this thing broken, there's a lot of small parts in it, isn't it? You saw when your screen cracked what it was like. The first time cell phones came out, they were very big. Do you remember? Jy lag nou, maar jy weet nie hoe werk die ding nie, maar jy lag. By any rate. So, it was new, and one of the pastors had a phone for the first time. And every time his wife called him, he said, "Hoe jy nog weet ek is hier?" You see, because in our days, the telephone was at a certain place. So you must phone to the house, then they say, if you pick up, oh, there's da, yeah, I can see. But when it's a cell phone, you can go anywhere. And he kept thinking, my wife say, run, I can see, by ShopRite. Hey! The secrets! So who's rich? Not you that have the phone. You owe Vodacom. You owe MTN, you owe, but the manufacturer who discovered the secret to making things work. You see, if you go to Rwanda, these places, you say, they'll tell you, Sierra Leone, they say, we have gold in the ground. But no diamonds, sorry, Sierra Leone, diamonds, they have diamonds. But how do you get there? They can't. So the white man comes into the country and he discovers the secret of how to make a deep hole and get there. Hey! I'm explaining to you that the secrets of God is the secret to your prosperity. The mysteries. If you discover it, you will not be poor. Hallelujah. That's why the whites have, they are the rich people. It's a problem of South Africa. The whites control everything with all the money. Amen. Because they have the secrets. Now, number three, let me just give you this last one, then I close. And then if you want to come again next week, I'll teach you some more. Are you learning something? The secret of God is given to the righteous and to his prophets. The secrets of God are given to his righteous and to his to the righteous, to the righteous and to his prophets. This is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. The Bible says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." Let's look at NLT. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship. No, that's not the right version. To King James, it says the secret of God. There it is. For the froward, the evil people, they are abomination to the Lord. But God's secret is with the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you tell your secrets to everyone? So why do you expect God to tell his secrets to everyone? The people to whom God has given his secrets are those he sees as righteous people. May you become righteous in the eyes of God. God withholds his revelation from people who are wicked and gives them to the righteous. And as I said earlier, the servant who works in the house will know the secrets of the house. Strive then to become a servant of God. Strive to become a prophet of God. And you will be guaranteed a rich supply of the secrets of the Lord. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 declares, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Listen carefully. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So the righteous and the prophets of God, they see the secrets of God. And the secrets of God, I explained to you, is the wisdom of God. When you find it, it's a victory. Amen. It's a victory. I think I've discovered a few secrets of God and it has brought us where we are. But if I discover more secrets, it can take us further. Amen. My brother, Pastor Clint, has now discovered a secret or revelation on honor. Secrets are also revelations. Close the door. Secrets are also revelations. Are you with me? When you things are revealed to you. So through his studies of the word, God showed him some things on honor. Then he wrote a little book. And because of the revelation on honor, he's now been invited all over to speak on honor. He was in the United States of America preaching on honor. Are you with me? Yeah. Bishop Dagg himself always says that the revelations on loyalty has made him so world famous. When God reveals the secrets to you, it's the beginning of your ministry. Yeah. It could be the beginning or the enhancement of your ministry. Your ministry can go further depending on what revelations you receive. Which means you must be constantly reading the scriptures to hear what God is saying. And in hearing what God is saying, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal some of these secrets to you. Because everybody reads the Bible, but not everybody sees what is in there. You must really be serious with God. It's called righteous. Be righteous with him. Seek the Lord. Find his wisdom. Jy kan nie met God speel en wil jy verwag die Here gaan vir jou sy secrets ken nie. Nee, jy moet ernstig raak met God. Amen. Ernstig raak met die Here. So I won't touch lukewarmness to that. I'll speak about it some other time. I just felt I needed to give you the foundation first. You see, but God is not impressed with lukewarm people. Mense people that don't commit to something. You know? Some people will come to church and they say, "I'm not commit. I come, but I can't commit." But it's a lie because somebody, you are committed somewhere. You might not be committed here, but you are committed somewhere. In other words, You are lukewarm, and God hates lukewarmness. Now, that's another secret of God, because you wonder about what is it in lukewarmness that God hates. But if the Lord spares me, I want to share it with you in the coming weeks. Why God hates lukewarm Christians. Woo, die Here sê, hou nie, ek spog jou sommer uit my mond uit. Sy kom, sit aan. Sy is 'n Christen, maar sy, ek kan sê, my liefste nog in die wêreld gewees het. You can rather be hot than you can rather be cold. But if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to search for the secrets of God? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's enjoy the table of the Lord, if I can call the pastors to join me. And the ushers, get ready to share the table of the Lord. I gave you 3 points this morning. Number one was that the secrets of God, life and death depends on the secrets of God. Then I said your prosperity also depends on the discovery of the secret of God. And then I said to you that the secret of God is given to the righteous and to his prophets. Hallelujah. Where do you think you will find the secrets of God? You will find it in prayer. Amen. When the king wanted to kill Daniel, what did he say? Give me some time. Let me go in. Let me go in. Hey. We've now opened Saturday mornings for prayer at the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent. We are also having special prayer sessions for pastors only. I will announce the special sessions that we will have soon. It will be early on a Saturday morning. We will come together, just the pastors, to pray. Because we discovered that the secrets of God are discovered in prayer. Much prayer. If you want to discover the secrets of God, you must actually book yourself away for a few days. Go and go pray somewhere. That's when you get revelation from God. Secrets of God. Hallelujah. Any rate. Bring the table forward and then the pastors must join me. Let's all stand to our feet. We will now participate. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, I receive from the Lord, verse 23, that which I gave unto thee. When we gather around God's table, this is what we receive from the Lord, and this is what the Lord is giving to us. Amen. That the night when he was betrayed, he broke the bread. It was the Passover. It was the Passover. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. They celebrated the Passover lamb. And it was on that day that he broke the bread and he said, eat, this is my bread. Because you see, he is the true Lamb of God. The Old Testament was only a shadow of what would really happen. So this escape of Moses and the Israelites, the day of death, was the day that the Israelites celebrated always the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But the real Lamb of God would come to also free us from sin. This was Jesus. And the bread he gives to us is his body. His body we eat so that he becomes part of us. Whatever you eat becomes part of you. Then the blood we drink to heal us of our diseases, to purge us, to cleanse us of sin. That's the reason for the blood. The Bible says if you drink in an unworthy manner, you drink judgment upon yourself. So just close your eyes and ask the Lord for forgiveness. That the Lord will purge you, cleanse you. His blood will cleanse you, forgive you. And then as you eat the body, He said, take, eat, this is my body which is given unto you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup in the same manner. Drink the cup every time. It's the new covenant in my blood. When you do this in remembrance of me. But as we eat of the body and the blood of Jesus today, we also claim all the benefits that we have as Christians to be part of Christ. May His body that was without sickness and sin become part of us. And may every sickness and disease in our bodies be burned today as we partake of this holy table. The table is holy. The table is precious in the eyes of God. That's why He said you must do this as often as you get together. Now they will serve you the wafers and the cup. Keep it until I give the command. Then we eat and drink together.
His blood still flows from Calvary, for His blood is not just blood of another spotless lamb, for His blood, His precious blood, oh, it washed the sin of man, and His blood heals my body and set my spirit free. I'm so glad His precious blood still flows from Calvary, for His blood of another spotless lamb, but His blood, His precious blood, for it washed the sins of men, and His blood heals my body and sets my spirit free.
Are we still serving? Who didn't get bread and wine? Everybody got. All right? Now, we will eat the bread. This is the body of Jesus to us. May we become one with Him and He in us, seated in Christ, even the heavenly places. May every disease and sickness in our bodies be cancelled now in the name of Jesus. Let's eat the bread. After the bread, the cup, the blood of Jesus purges us from all iniquity and all sin. Drink the cup.
His blood is not just blood of another spotless lamb, but His blood, His precious blood, for it washed the sin of man.
Oh, your sin's blood heals my body and it sets my spirit free. But I'm so glad His precious blood still flows.